8 o'clock on Fridays means it's time to talk to one of our favorite people, Chris Carter of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And Football Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days. You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Chris, how we doing today, buddy? What's going on?
Doing great, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing all right.
Great. You notice anything?
Oh, I couldn't see the chest at first. I just saw some gold letters there. But that is some great stuff over there, Doran. Adam, where did you get such fine swagger? Normally, you are not an individual who is as up on the fashion styles of today.
Yeah, a listener mailed that to Doran. I mean, how long? Like 18 months ago?
Yeah.
And it's been in the studio ever since. And then because I'm incompetent at radio and I've lost a challenge here, I have to wear it today. And it sucks. But this was $4 at Gabe's. The tag was on. And I will say the one thing about this shirt that I do like is there's a bottle opener that is stitched into this sucker here. So $4
well,
at Gabe's.
Well, it's for WVU guys.
That's right. I think we're good. And here's the thing. I'd pay $4 for a bottle opener. So that's if you're true. A Pitt fan and you want to get the shirt, I mean...
Look at you. You're trying to justify the shirt. He's trying to justify it.
Good on you, Doran. Way to go.
Yes. Chris Carter joining us.
If only I could post memes in like reality. Like that. Like I do my 13-9 meme like right now.
I got that saved up, that meme. Just in case something good might happen on 9-13, though, I don't feel good about it. Chris Carter joining us on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We'll get into the Steelers, but Chris, your reaction to the mega deal between the Cowboys and the Packers, sending Micah Parsons to Green Bay for 2 first-round picks and Kenny Clark.
I was just like, there's no way Jerry Jones can be this stupid, right? And then, you know, Jerry Jones, as normal, proves me wrong. If you had to move Micah Parsons, you had to get more than 2 first-round picks from a team that already has been a lower first-round pick for the past several years. They have a franchise quarterback. They're going to be competitive. But now you're sending them the best like young pass rusher in the NFL, one of the best defenders in the NFL. They're definitely going to be a low first-round pick. So you essentially just got like at best 2 picks in like the mid-20s. For the next 2 years, and you gave up, and you get Kenny Clark, you know, a good defensive tackle. But this is a Cowboys team that was built to win. Now they're paying Dak Prescott so much money, CeeDee Lamb so much money. They've signed all these other deals. None of this mattered without Micah Parsons. This would be like if the Steelers traded away Antonio Brown in the mid 2010s. And like and traded him to like, I don't know, the Patriots. He got 2 first-round picks back, and it's like, you know, those picks aren't going to be that high, and you know you're handing them to a team that's established or something like that. So I think Jerry Jones got conned. I think that he played himself with this whole process. But I urge Steelers fans who are like, why can't Omar Khan do that? I'm like, everyone relax. Like, this is a very unique situation, and Omar Khan is not spending 2 draft picks right now, when 2 first-round picks right now, when they still need to find their franchise quarterback. But if the Steelers get their quarterback in this upcoming draft, they might be in that window to make some more aggressive trades of this caliber.
So you don't think that Jerry Jones is angling to draft Arch Manning and use those picks and cut bait with Dak Prescott?
Maybe, but here's the thing. We don't know if Arch Manning's coming out this year or next year. Arch Manning's, you know, like the family's like, he ain't coming out this year. And that might be a way of them saying, like, hey, don't position yourself to tank for us, because if you're the wrong team, we're not sending your way. And we saw it with Eli back in 2004, yep. Right? So I wouldn't be shocked about that. So if Jerry Jones is trying to angle for that position, okay, fine. But I'm not sure, when you look at this situation, how Micah Parsons forced his way out of town, with the way how Jerry Jones has handled things, would the Mannings want Arch to go to the Cowboys? Like, Dorn, if you had a super son right now, one of your kids was a bona fide future first round pick, and you could choose wherever you wanted to go, would you send him to the Cowboys?
I mean, Dak Prescott just did get $60 million.
Yeah, you want to get that payday.
Yeah, like, I mean, at the quarterback, I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
Chris, which of these college quarterbacks do you like the best? It's early. It's subject to change. We've all got opinions on these guys, all these potential first-round picks. But who among that group will you be keeping a special eye on this weekend and then through the season?
There's like a group of like four or five guys. I really like Lenore Sellers out of South Carolina. He's big. He's fast. He has a cannon arm. He made the biggest thing I like to see on top of like your raw skills is how do you perform in tough moments? And I saw that guy step up in several big game moments and make big game throws and big game plays. I really like when him and Cade Klubnik threw down. And I like Cade Klubnik as well. But in their matchup, Lenore Sellers came out on top by just a bit. I like Garrett Nussmeier out of LSU. Cade Klubnik out of Clemson. There's a few guys here, but Lenore Sellers is right at the top of my list. I'll be intrigued to see, does he get in Heisman conversations? Because right now he's just the raw redshirt freshman who looks like he has a whole lot of promise, right? But if he's able to develop and become a superstar quarterback this year that carries South Carolina maybe into the playoffs there or to an SEC championship game or something like crazy like that, then everyone else will be looking at him. It'll be a matter of who can the Steelers afford to trade up for? Because the Steelers aren't going to trade up into like the top three to get a quarterback. They're going to trade up probably to the back of the top 10. And Lenore Sellers, I think, is the right kind of quarterback with all the other guys that are on the board. Cade Klubnik, you know, I'm not a Drew Aller guy, but some people are. But I think Lenore Sellers is the right mix of a guy who can be good enough to be a top 10 pick, but maybe not go top five, that could fit exactly what the Steelers need and be a guy that end up being one of the better guys of this class, just maybe not shown as much this year because I think these other guys might be in some better personal situations for them.
Chris, we'll stick with the college football talk here right now. Penn State over under 10.5 wins on the season. Pitt football over under 6.5 wins on the season, and West Virginia over under 5.5 on the season. Who do you like the most to hit their over for win total on the season?
I like Penn State going over 10 wins. I think that they're a pretty good team. Is that including playoffs and bowl games?
No,
or is that just
regular season.
Okay. You know, that changes a little bit. Because I actually think 10-2 is right in the mix for Penn State. So actually, I'll take their under there. You said 6.5 for Pitt and 5.5 for West Virginia, right?
Yep.
I like Pitt at 6.5. I think Pitt can get 7, maybe 8 wins if as long as they don't get decimated by injury. Granted, they've had that happen a few times to them in recent years. I think West Virginia, they need a year with Rich Rod to get up on that level. I think that when they get settled there, they'll be able to get there. But I think that right now Pitt, they're in a position. If you look at their schedule too in the ACC and the teams that they play, they should beat enough of these teams. If they don't, it'll be a disappointing year. I think that Eli Holstein, Des Reed, Kenny Johnson, they have some weapons on offense. You know, so I'd be excited to see that. So give me Pitt at over 6.5 wins.
I agree with that. I think the one that I feel most confident about of those three to go over is Pitt. Penn State plays Oregon. They play Ohio State. I could see them losing both of those games. I think they're the better team. But big game James, right, baby. Big game James.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, we've talked about running back a ton for the Steelers on this show. And Dorn and I aren't as confident in the running back room as I think a lot of other people are. Do you look at that as a concern?
I look at it as a concern in the sense that if they don't gel with this offensive line, that could be a problem. We haven't just seen it yet. Now, there's a bit of a confidence that Jalen Warren's going to be able to hit the right hole at the right time when this O-line gets going, and he's going to be able to use his speed and burst through and make plays. But the concern that I have, and I've had it for years, I don't know if Jalen Warren is your every down back that can last all season long and take the load. And granted, they have Kenneth Gainwell, they have Caleb Johnson's not going to ask him to do too much. But you saw in that preseason game, he fumbled in very short order. His fumble rate is significantly lower than Najee Harris was. And for all the things that Najee Harris wasn't, he was a ball protector. And he did not let that ball hit the turf. It was a big thing that, you know, for all the talents that they lost of Le'Veon Bell when he didn't come back in 2018, his ability to protect the football was one of the biggest things that they lost that cost them in 2018 the playoff. You think of James Conner fumbling in some key moments, Stephen Ridley fumbling in some key moments. It was the running back position couldn't hold on to the football. They fumbled more times that season than I think Le'Veon Bell had fumbled in the last three. So if Jalen Warren can't hold on to the ball, you're probably going to then turn to a lot more Caleb Johnson. And I think Caleb Johnson might be that dude, but it might take him a year to become that dude. It took Le'Veon Bell a year to do that himself. So I do agree that could be a concern here. It's not neatly tied up and being like, oh, yeah, this group's good to go. Just assume that they're going to be great.
What do you think about wide receiver two?
I kind of like the idea that Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson, I believe Calvin Austin will be ready for week one. But I think that these guys, they're not proven bona fide wide receiver twos, but I think both of them are good wide receiver threes. And if Aaron Rodgers is able to distribute the football and not necessarily have to lean on one guy just to win matchups, he's going to find ways to exploit defenses with their abilities along with this tight end room. And I think that could make up for the lack of the pure wide receiver two that everyone is just scared of as soon as they step foot on the field. But I do think also we got to give Roman Wilson a chance because we haven't seen Roman Wilson in games. I like the routes that he was running. I think that he could be a quiet killer for the Steelers. I like Calvin Austin's speed being back. And I think they could play off of DK Metcalf well. The biggest concern, though, is if DK Metcalf gets injured and has to sit out a game or two, who becomes wide receiver one in this offense? And that I don't know. And if that happens, then I do think that they run into a problem where it's going to take some serious creativity from Aaron Rodgers and Arthur Smith with working these tight end packages to scare defenses and to get some favorable matchups there.
All right, last one for you, but we're short on time. Did the Steelers do enough to fix their run defense?
I think they did. As long as Derek Harmon comes back healthy early in the season, I think that Derek Harmon, Cam Hayward, Keanu Benton, Floden, Y.A. Black, and Dan Aquale, I think those five guys in the middle will be much better than what they've had in the last couple of years on the D-line. They've been searching for that extra Stephon Tuitt presence on their D-line. They may have found a couple guys in Harmon and Black, and that might be the biggest thing that helps them this year, because if you just keep the linebackers clean, which they could not do a lot last season, if they take on those double teams well, they keep the linebackers clean, Patrick Queen, Peyton Wilson, Cole Holcomb, they'll all be that much more dangerous and more active in the run game. So many times we were complaining about Patrick Queen, it was just, hey, there's a lineman sprinting up to him in 5 seconds, and they're like, oh, well, he should be able to get rid of them. Ray Lewis didn't get rid of offensive linemen like that. Like, he used to say that after that 2000s defense kind of aged out, he said the biggest thing we need to go get is D tackles, because Sam Adams and Tony Siragusa kept me clean, and that's what allowed me to be great. And then they went and got Haloti Ngata, and that helped change what the late 2000s Ravens defense could do. So the Steelers need those guys, multiple versions of those guys in the middle. I think they got them. If the linebackers are clean, they'll stuff the run better, and that'll help them find their footing and set up more third and longs where the pass rush can pin their ears back, the corners can play aggressive, and you can create more turnover likely situations.
Chris, this was wonderful. It always is. We appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
Thanks, Chris.
Talk to you next Friday. Before this, get out of here. We'll talk to you. Yeah, right. See you.
You all right?
Having a rough one today.
You've had a rough one every day this week.
So we talked about how the Micah Parsons trade could negatively affect the Steelers. There is a way it will positively, I think, affect the Steelers. We'll get to that coming up next. We'll react to some of what Chris had to say. And there's a text here that I just need to bring up because I think it's nonsense. Special guest, Christian Kuntz, Pittsburgh Steeler, Duquesne grad, joining us in 13 minutes.
Chartiers Valley, too.
CV.
Hometown kid.
Very nice man. I hope his sternum's okay.
Yeah.
Crack.
Yeah, that hurts.
My sternum.
You have a sternum?
Yeah, it's got a lot of work cut out for it because of the kyphosis. So my pecs, whatever you would call mine.
your nipples.
Yeah, my nipples that are basically attached to my bone, they're just pushed in concave over my sternum.
Like, I do wonder things like this. You know how weird I get.
Yep.
Like, so I know Christian, and he's in great shape, and, you know, he slapped a muscle. I mean, he's an NFL player. He's an NFL long snapper, and he's a former All-American linebacker at Duquesne. So he's a dude.
Dude.
He cracked his sternum. Cracked his sternum on a special teams play in a preseason game. Crap. I do wonder if the same thing happened to you, like what the ramifications would be. Like, his cracked sternum.
Call my dad.
Is your what? Is your heart on the field? Yeah, like, is your heart out of your body?
Call my dad, who sells caskets.
Yeah.
And he'll make a sale.
Yeah.
I can't.
Like, it wouldn't be the same injury. Even if you got hit in the same spot, same things happen, you guys would have two different injuries.
Yes. Yes, we would.
You would combust.
I would burst into flame, and I would cease to exist. I would turn into little tiny particles of dust that would float to the ground like when Thanos snapped his fingers.
You would be like those little the skeleton turtles in the underground of Mario, the Mario game, where you jump on it and they just crack.
Dry bones, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what those are called? Mm-hmm. I never knew what those were called.
I didn't either, yeah.
I always knew about Bowser, big old meanie taking Peach, pervert. See, because if it were me, I'd kidnap the plumber. Have any idea how much it costs to do HVAC stuff? I got these damn pipe flies.
Bowser might have other needs with pipes and such.
That's what I'm saying. This pervert kidnaps Peach. Pervert. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. I said there is a good thing for the Steelers that comes out of this Micah Parsons trade, and that's that I would expect the third-round pick you got for George Pickens might not look so bad. That might be closer to a second-round pick. If they're going to stink, I thought they might have a shot to pick closer to the end of round three, but now it might be closer to the start of round two. Could definitely see that happening.
I mean, they're not going to be, like, bad, I don't think. I mean,
I think they're going to have a tough time being good on defense. Offensively, defense, right. I expect them to score some points and to throw the football around. I mean, shoot, you got George Pickens and you got Dak Prescott and you got CeeDee Lamb. Probably wouldn't even put him in that order. You're going to score some points.
Mm-hmm.
They might be like the worst version of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah. Good point. Yes. Good comparison.
But they'll definitely be worse without Micah Parsons. And then I said there was a text I wanted to react to. Lenora Sellers is a glorified Malik Willis. He's Anthony Richardson 2.0. The team that drafts him will set themselves back for years. I just don't think you've watched Lenora Sellers play. I think Lenora Sellers is a better prospect than Anthony Richardson. I don't know that he goes higher in the draft than he did, but he's more accurate than Anthony Richardson. And look, Malik Willis, he's been around the league, but he went to Liberty. Like, we're talking about an SEC quarterback here doing things against an SEC defense.
Well, he's going to have a bigger body of work than those two as well.
Yes.
Like, he's going to show that he's a senior, right?
Sellers? I just know he's coming out.
Well, okay, he's coming out. So, like, whether it was his sophomore year last year or his junior year last year, he's going to have a bigger body of work. If he does have a good season this year, he'll have his, you know, 2 years worth of film and production of showing that he is capable of being that quarterback. Those other guys, they had, like, 1 year. You know, Willis and Anthony Richardson, they blew up 1 year and then they came out. Sellers will show his consistency and his production over a bigger body of work than those two. That's why I think he's a better prospect.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, I mean, he played a little bit in 2023, did Sellers. Last year, he threw the ball 299 times.
Mm-hmm.
He rushed for almost 700 yards last season, a 66% completion percentage. I'm not 100%. Sure of Anthony Richardson's in college, but I'm going to guess it wasn't that.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
I'm furious.
Probably ran for more yards.
But. Yeah. Yeah. Because I think Sellers likes to throw. Like, he wants to throw and will run when necessary. I think at the stage of the development that Richardson was, even in college, he wanted to run first. Yeah. Richardson's completion percentage at Florida was 53.8. Very rarely do you see a guy have a low completion percentage like that in college and translate to the NFL. The obvious exception is Josh Allen, who even his first few years in the NFL, my man.
It was tough.
Oh, my God. I remember when he came up in here playing Duck Hodges and Hodges threw four picks in the game. Josh Allen couldn't hit the intermediate stuff, couldn't hit the short stuff, couldn't hit the broad side of a barn. He'd throw the deep ball, he'd run you over, but, man, they fixed him up good. They fixed him up good, and my God, what a player he is. But that doesn't happen frequently. I don't think you have to put in as much work for a guy like Lenore Sellers. So I just disagree with the assessment there. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe I'll be wrong. I'm not right about everything. I'm wrong about an awful lot.
I mean, nobody's really right or wrong. I mean, nobody knows, really. You don't know how a quarterback's going to translate to the NFL. I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks that don't get drafted in the first round that become superstars. Like, you never know. It has to be the right situation, the right offense, the right coaching, and the right timing for guys to be successful at that position.
Man, so much goes into it.
I mean, everything. Like, you have to be in the – I mean, think about it. Think about how many quarterbacks that got drafted into a terrible situation. I mean, obviously, Kenny is one of them.
The one that always sticks out to me is Carr with the expansion Texans, and he got sacked 78 right. million times in the first year.
He goes anywhere else, probably has a better career.
Sure.
Anywhere.
Yes. Like, if he landed in Joe Burrow's modern-day situation from when Joe Burrow went 1-1, like, I didn't think Bengals were going to be good that year, but he had weapons.
Yep.
And then they got him Jamar Chase, and the rest is history. My man could not stay up. That was the worst offensive line I've ever seen. Texter, they have Eberflus and Schottenheimer. Eberflus.
Who?
Eberflus.
No, who has him?
Is Eberflus in Dallas now? Because they got the Schottenheimer.
Oh, okay, they're saying they're coach staff in Dallas.
Yeah, just real quick, what an offseason. What an offseason for the Cowboys. Yeah, you get two first-round picks. It may well work out, but you lose a superstar who's 26 years old, and you hired a guy that you have no idea about, and you got rid of a really good coach.
Like, literally right after refreshing everybody's memory of what Jerry Jones did in the 90s, too. Like, I can't say enough about that documentary, but it literally came out, what, like last week or 2 weeks ago, and then he just replays and re-ups on the history that he obviously did before.
I wish, dude, that we had Wonstad on today.
Right.
We had Wonstad yesterday. He was telling great stories. Get his thoughts on the Micah Parsons deal. Oh! All right. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Coming up next, special guest, Christian Kuntz, Steelers long snapper, Duquesne grad. Going to talk a little bit about the game this weekend. Pitt, Duquesne, first time in 86 years. See how he's feeling, too. That's on the way. Our buddy Pat Bostic with a tweet 7 minutes ago. Waggle. Naked boot. Why banana? Flanker drive. X slant spacing. Fire zone. Tampa 2. Hashtag ball words. What a goofball.
Yep. He loves football.
Patty?
Uh-huh.
Yes, he does.
Uh-huh.
So does Christian Kuntz.
Uh-huh.
Duquesne guy.
Uh-huh.
Steelers long snapper.
Uh-huh.
He joins us right now. Christian, man, thank you so much for taking the time to jump on with us today. How you doing?
What's up, fellas? Thanks for having me. I do love ball, but, you know, hearing Bostic and hearing Doran, they're going to rave about Pitt this week. I don't know if I could talk with them about ball this week.
So what's Duke? What do the Dukes got to do to pull the upset here?
The Dukes got to control the clock, run the play clock down, minimal plays, make it sloppy football, hope for a couple turnovers, and the Dukes will have a chance.
You're screwed, Christian.
Yep. Christian, Jerry Schmidt, he was your head coach. He's been there for 21 years. What does he mean to you as your former coach, and how excited do you think he is to play the Pitt Panthers at Acrisure Stadium in this city game tomorrow at 12 p.m.?
Yeah, Coach Schmidt's a great guy. He's been at Duquesne for 30 years. I mean, he's a legend. He knows football better than anybody. And, you know, he knows the opportunity. Duquesne guys getting a chance to play Pitt, especially at Acrisure or Heinz Field, as we would call it. And it's just a great opportunity because we have a ton of Whipple guys up, you know, up at Duquesne. And obviously, you know, Duquesne's a lower level than Pitt. So, you know, there's probably not a single guy on Duquesne's roster that got offered from Pitt. So, guys want to kind of, you know, they want to show out. They want to show that they can play FBS football and play it in their hometown against Pitt. So it's exciting, and Jerry knows that. Jerry's keeping the guys level-headed because, you know, you don't want to get too ahead of themselves. But, you know, the boys are excited. They're ready to roll, and I know Pitt's excited too. So it'll be a good Saturday. I'm excited.
How excited would you be? Like, would you be amped up? I mean, this week leading up, knowing that you're playing the University of Pittsburgh, and even today, like, what would you be feeling like? Would you just be like, wow, like, I can't believe we have this opportunity? Or would you be like, I got to go make a big name for myself? Even though that you already had a name, you got to make a bigger name for yourself?
Yeah, I'd be super excited. I mean, just to know that we're at Duquesne, and then we get a chance to go play up and play Pitt, and to do it in the hometown and make a name for yourself in front of, you know, Coach Narduzzi, who, with the transfer portal too, like, this stuff's crazy, because if a kid plays well, like, Dorn, you know, if the kid plays well in the FCS, you know, they're going right to the FBS. So it's almost like, you know, these games early on in the year for FCS guys are like tryouts to go get NIL money and to go make an FBS roster. It's just what college football is now, but I would be stoked. I would be so pumped to get out there and make a name for myself and kind of prove, like, okay, look, I can play a Pitt like Doran Dickerson did.
Christian Kuntz, our guest here on the Fan Morning Show, Steelers long snapper, Duquesne guy, big game this weekend, Pitt trying to get revenge from 86 years ago. Christian, how's the sternum doing? How's the chest? That can't possibly feel good.
Oh, it's getting better. Every day it's getting better. We'll be good for week one. So we got the best doctors and medical staff and treatment stuff going on. So it's gonna be fine. Everyone in that locker room's playing hurt to some capacity. So but it's healing better, and we'll be good by week one.
So you're flying around making tackles at Duquesne. You wind up getting into the NFL as a long snapper. At what point did you think, okay, if I'm going to play at the next level, I'm going to have to start snapping a football?
Yeah. When I was in New England, man, you know, I got up there and I got released. I was next to Dante Hightower and actually a former teammate in Landon Roberts, two linebackers. And, you know, when I kind of saw those guys, I was quick to realize, man, maybe I should start doing something else, long snapping, kicking or punting, something. But I got released from Denver, and I went on a couple workouts. And, you know, actually, John Wojciechowski, player personnel up in Green Bay, he's a Duquesne grad. And, you know, he kind of, after my workout, kind of pushed me towards long snapping. And that's kind of when I took it pretty serious and strictly started long snapping about a year after I got released from linebacker with the Patriots. So it was a crazy journey, but it all worked out for the best.
Chris Boswell, pretty good.
Yeah, he's decent. I'd say he's decent. I mean, he's you know, people don't understand that he kicks in Pittsburgh. Like, you know, he's not kicking in Dallas or in Detroit in a dome. And he gets guaranteed 8-9 games a year indoors. So this guy's doing it outside. He's doing it outside consistently every year in Pittsburgh, one of the hardest places to kick in the AFC North. He's phenomenal. Like, it's crazy how good he is, and he's a stone cold killer. A guy that wants those big kicks. You know what I mean? You don't get kickers like that a lot. That, you know, they want to be rolled out there for a 65 with the game on the line or something like that. So it's great to have a guy like that in your corner and in your unit with you.
Last thing for you, Christian. Aaron Rodgers, four-time MVP, but, you know, the media, the things that have been said about Rodgers, like his reputation sort of preceded him.
Yeah.
What did you think he would be like compared to what your interactions with him have been like?
Honestly, I didn't know what he was going to be like, you know, with how the media said he was and everything. I didn't know how it was going to be in the locker room, but, you know, from the time we spent, he couldn't have been can't be a cooler dude. I mean, he's a teammate, he's a friend, he's in there hanging out with us at Latrobe, you know, just like a normal dude. Like, there's no ego to him. The dude just loves football. He wants to be around the teammates, around the guys, like, hanging out, talking ball, playing ball, winning football game. Like, he just wants to be one of the dudes. Like, the best part of, you know, playing football sometimes is the camaraderie and the time you spend with your teammates. And that's kind of what all he's about. Like, he just wants to hang out with the guys, talk ball, and be a great teammate and friend. And all this bad rap that he's gotten over the years, I don't really know where that came from, but I find that very false. So, you know, he's a great guy and he's very well liked in our locker room already.
But does he feel like he's older though? Like whenever he is hanging out and he's, you know, playing PlayStation and he's talking and just chilling, does he feel older? Like I play video games and hang out with my kids, but they still look at me as a dad. Like does he feel older still? Yeah.
I don't know because, you know, he was playing some video games and participated in the home run derby and did all the stuff. So I'm sure he feels older, you know, this being his 21st season, which is, it's just crazy to think about. But you know, he's still got a young soul and he messes with a lot of guys and jokes around a lot. So it's been fun in there.
You wouldn't gamble. We would never suggest such things at all. But do you think Duquesne loses by fewer than 38 points tomorrow?
Fewer. I don't know what that means, but I think they lose fewer. I think it's fewer than 38 for sure. And I know Doran will be texting me on the side tomorrow. He'll be wanting to bet a beer or something on it.
No doubt. Are you going to be at the game?
I will be at the game.
Nice. Oh, I'll be sure to rub it in your face when I see you.
Yeah, I know you can't. All the Pitt guys can't wait for this. I don't know why. I don't know why they can't wait to, like, what, beat up on the little brother? Like, we're, you know, this is crazy. The text that I've gotten this week about, you know, how Pitt's going to pound Duquesne. Like, it's crazy.
Christian, we're happy that you're going to be good to go week one because that looked just not fun at all. Thank you for jumping on with us and good luck.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Christian.
What a guy. Yep. What a fun guy.
Yeah, he's the man. The man.
I can't get over that injury, though.
Yeah, it's tough.
I have...
That's bad luck, too. Like,
oh, just my
you
God.
You have to land a certain way where your, like, kind of shoulders kind of collapse together.
That's how I live my entire life. My brother-in-law, he's got this weird phobia where, like, you can't get near or touch his sternum. I mean, and it is weird. Like, he'll be holding my baby, and Fiona will be, like, reaching for a sermon. He's like, oh, he gets wigged out by it.
What?
So I texted him last night. I said, you know, our guy Christian Kuz is going to be on tomorrow. He cracked his sternum. Freak him out. Yeah.
Huh.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports, our guy at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. Texter writes in, Colorado v. Georgia Tech tonight, finally going to decide that 1990 split national championship. This is as close as Prime will ever get. People don't like Prime.
Nope.
Except he's got a big-time quarterback recruit who's playing for them this year. And I think as long as he's there, you're going to get a handful of the best players in the country every single year.
Yep.
I don't know what to expect out of them this year. I really don't. But I'm intrigued.
I could take him or leave him this year, but I think that Georgia Tech whoops him tonight.
I think Georgia Tech's going to be pretty good.
Me too.
They've been building something there. And I think college football's good when Georgia Tech's good. Georgia Tech took Georgia down to the wire last year.
Mm-hmm.
Man! What do we got tonight? Auburn and Baylor. I think Auburn is going to be huge and big and powerful on those offensive and defensive lines. But I'll tell you this about Baylor. They throw that thing all over the place. Last year, their offense was unreal. It's going to be better this year. I'm kind of split on that game. I think mm-hmm. I'd take... I think
Where's
I would,
it at?
I think I would take Auburn to cover. Auburn on the road at Baylor.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. SEC team on the road? Don't see that often.
Nope.
All right. Rib Fest this weekend. You big rib guy?
Of course.
You're going to get ribs at Ribfest this weekend.
Of course.
What kind of ribs do you like? Are we talking like North Carolina barbecue? Are we talking Kansas City style?
I like to try it. Like, I like all the different ones. But I like to, if I'm going to spend my money at Ribfest, I like to go with the local stands.
I'm with you on that.
The local people. Because they deserve it. And you know what? You know who's a superstar at Ribfest whenever we do pit games?
Edmund Nelson.
Nope. Bob Pompiani, when we sit there and we do pick games right outside the stadium, like right where Ribfest is at, I mean, every single person that's a local stand brings a sample of ribs to Bob Pompiani.
What?
I mean, he has the whole table's full of ribs and brisket sandwiches and pulled pork sandwiches and lemonades. He's like, hey, Dorn, you want some of this? Like, yeah, I want some. Everybody's like, hey, Paul, here, try this, try that, try that. I mean, he's a superstar. Free ribs.
Now, what time do you go on with the pregame?
9. Yep, superstar.
You think there'd be some runoff for me if I showed up at 9?
I'll save you some.
Okay.
Of course.
I think I'm coming.
You're not coming.
Ribs? Ribs in a college football tailgate? The Bananas in town. You and Harry are going to see the Bananas tonight.
Correct.
Tailgating in the van.
What time are you going to get down there? What time's first pitch?
6:30.
When's the Callus Banana tailgate start?
Maybe 4.
You going to play video games out of the back of your van?
I could. I could do the George Foreman grills too I have.
Are you going to buy any Savannah Bananas merchandise?
No.
Are you?
No. My kids. Well, maybe for my kids, not for me.
But wear it once and that's probably it.
It's not a great yellow.
Callus and I do not know. We don't know if what yellow really is.
Ah, with the color blindness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a great friend.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
What color? I mean, why is it not a great yellow? Like, what's the difference between yellow and their yellow?
I think, legitimately, PNC Park is going to be visible from the Hubble Space Station.
Really?
It's highlighter yellow. You're going to have 40,000 people wearing it. I think you're going to be able to see it from space.
It doesn't bother my eyes. I mean,
you're colorblind.
Yeah, colors bother my eyes. That's how mine works. Like when I see certain shades of colors, it hurts because like I can't detect them.
I've never heard of that kind of color blindness.
Me neither.
But I could be a blind spot for me. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Beautiful weather for the Bananas tonight. High of 69, low of 55, partly cloudy.